Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to Remix Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tombe. I want to say thank you for tuning in for episode 5. Honestly, this journey has gone by really, really quickly, and I know I said something really similar to this before, but I did want to take a moment and just thank you guys for being along this ride for a month. It's been really fun and amazing to finally get to do something I've been wanting to do for the longest time. So yeah, thank you for tuning in, and I'm glad you're back or here for the first time. Like I said, my name is Lily, and I'm really excited. So obviously, we start every podcast episode with updates and things like that. So first matter of business is we are officially on all platforms under the society and culture section. I know with Spotify, we had a little bit of a delay. We were in comedy for a little bit. I enjoyed my time. I will say, I hope I made you laugh at least once in every episode. I think even when we're talking about serious topics, I hope that you can smile at least once. Okay? Okay. What are other updates that we have? Oh, I know that there's been some delay, in particular with Apple Podcasts. Obviously, if you're listening to this probably doesn't apply to you. But if you have a friend who's like, what is going on with Remix Reality Podcast on Apple Podcasts? That's a good question, and we're figuring it out. I know episode 1 and episode 4 are published on Apple Podcasts. However, every single episode is published on every other platform. So you can just look up Remix Reality Podcasts under the Society and Culture section, and you'll be able to find us. Okay? Okay. Another update really quickly is if you're not following the Remix Reality Podcast Instagram, I would really encourage you to do so. You're able to honestly give a lot more feedback to me. We're able to create a community. I post before every episode. In addition to recently in the bio, there's a form that's been added that is going to be about all the episodes that we're doing in the near future, specifically the month of February. As I already said, February is going to be a fun, exciting month. I think I have a lot of interesting things planned, and so I'm really excited for that. But a lot of the things need your feedback. So if you go to the Mixed Reality Instagram bio, there's a Google form. It's anonymous. You could fill it out. It's just going to ask you to submit questions for the various topics that we were going to be covering this month. But more specifically, the last Wednesday of the month, we're going to be doing a fun little interactive segment where I'm going to be reading you guys' submissions. And it's going to be a little bit different because you're going to tell me stories and things like that. And it's titled, "This is a Red Flag or Am I Overthinking?" So you can think of various things and think, is this a red flag or am I crazy? And you're going to get my take on it. Kind of like a what would Lily do in this situation. I think it'll be fun. Like I said, it's anonymous, so share your stories. Don't be embarrassed. But yeah, I think that's the main update. Let's see, are there any personal life updates? I would say winter quarter's been treating me well so far. I honestly love most of my classes. And I'm going to be really sad when it ends and I have to pick new ones. But it's been pretty good. I think I deserved it after the brutalness of fall quarter. So thank you, winter quarter, for being very kind to me so far. And I can't believe that we are almost halfway through the quarter. It's really nasty to me how quickly the quarter system moves. But that just means that spring break is around the corner. Spring break is around the corner. I can't wait. Okay. Any other personal updates? Lily, what's going on? What is going on in your life? Nothing. Nothing that's worth talking about tonight. But I did want to pause and say, I know I said this last episode, but I think even since the recording of the first or the last episode in this one, there's been a lot that's happened in the world and in the United States. And I think even trying to record this episode, my brain has been going a million in different places. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that if you're feeling however about the state of the world, I'm right there with you. And I hope, like I said last week, this will be a space to breathe and learn and grow and hopefully challenge different opinions and perspectives that we've had about various things. But yeah, I was like, I don't know how everybody's functioning right now. I'm not functioning, to be completely honest. I'm running on 4 hours of sleep as well. Right, started work this week. It's brutal. Don't work in a different time zone is all I'm going to say. When I had to wake up at 5 something this morning to log on, I was like, I really don't like myself for this choice that I made, but it's okay. I used to be an early riser and I'll get back to it. Okay, so I know I said we have a form in the bio, so go ahead and fill that out. I know one of the things on there is going to be actually today's topic. So if I don't get to a question that you asked in today's episode, I will revisit it, and I would love to hear your perspective and read your different questions. But I'm going to be talking about identity today, and I think this is something that is really important to me. And I think there's a couple points that I want to hit in particular. However, I think the last time I tried to record this episode, I was just getting overwhelmed trying to think of everything. So I want this to be more of a raw conversation. I know there's a couple things I definitely want to say, but besides that, I just want to talk, right? And so if this episode feels a little bit disorganized or whatever the case is, because I'm literally just having a conversation with you. And I want it to be a conversation. So DM me. Let's talk. Let's chit chat. Like I said, I check the DMs and all that stuff quite frequently. So feel free to reach out to my personal Instagram or the Mixed Reality podcast account. Another thing, I know I'm on private on my main account. However, if you are trying to follow me, that's another thing, is I probably won't accept if we don't have mutuals or if I don't know you. But if you DM me and say, hey, I'm from Remixed Reality, I listen to your podcast, I'll probably accept you and we can have a conversation that way. I just wanted to comment that because I have been getting follow requests and I don't know who these people are, and so I haven't accepted them. However, if you shoot me a DM, I will see it once again. Never mind. I was going to say, gotta filter through some of the sugar daddy requests that come. I know they're scams, but I'm saying I gotta check every once in a while, and I'm sure your message saying that you're from Remixed Reality podcast will be thrown in the mix. So that's why I'm checking, not for any other reason. Anyways, let's get into it. Identity. Like I said, I think this topic is something that's very important to me. And I think it's because I've had a very interesting journey with this. Funny enough, if you don't do this, but I'm just saying, if you hypothetically were to Google my name, there is a little interview of me. And I haven't watched it because I don't want to, but I do remember the interview slightly. And I believe that one thing I did talk about in particular in that interview was on identity and how I struggled with my identity growing up and all those different things. And so I'm going to kind of expand on that a little bit, right? Because one thing I do know in particular that I said in that interview that holds true now is I wouldn't trade anything for the world, right? Even like the hardest things that I've been through or experienced or interactions, whatever the case is, like I wouldn't trade it for anything because I think it's all built me to who I am today. And I think that's one thing that holds true for this. So just know that anything that I'm sharing, I'm good with, right? That if I'm sharing this out, I'm fine. If anything that I share strikes a nerve in any way, shape, or form, or it reminds you of something and you want to share, or you want to have a conversation about it, please do. But funny enough, I was in class yesterday, and it's a class that literally meets once a week for 3 hours. And I love that class. It's brutal, right? I get out of class at 9 p.m., but I absolutely love that class. I think we get new lecturers and professionals in the field every single week. And obviously, we have our amazing professor who she's just incredible in and of herself. And it was really weird because we had a panel and she wasn't lecturing, but obviously she was there. And she was talking about something random, and randomly the topic of identity came up. And I actually attempted to record the episode yesterday, and I just wasn't feeling it. My heart was heavy, and I was like, I can't do this right now. And so I kind of stopped recording 30 minutes in, which is crazy because I literally probably only had like not that long left of the episode. But I stopped recording. I was like, I want to make sure that I'm in the right mental space when recording this episode. And so I kind of put it to the side. And one thing that I did record, I remember in those 30 minutes, is I shared a story that I am going to tell. And it's funny because my teacher had shared a story that's very, very similar to the story that I'm going to tell. And I went up to her after class and we had a conversation about this. And it's funny because I was the other person in this situation. And once I tell the story, it'll make a lot more sense. But we're going to take a journey, right? From Little Lily up until now, right? If you saw the post on Instagram today, it was probably pictures of me when I was younger to me now, and different things like that. Because I think identity is something that continues to change and develop as you get older. I think, however, we should first identify what identity even means, right? I think we throw this term around often, and we're going to look at what Google says identity is. So let's see. Okay. A person's identity is a collection of characteristics that make them unique. I like this one. When I recorded the episode earlier, or part of the episode earlier, it didn't give me that. It gave me some weird technical definition that I couldn't understand. And so I was like, okay, let's see what Wikipedia has to say. And as you get older, people start saying Wikipedia is actually okay to use. I know when we were in elementary and middle school, they're like, do not touch Wikipedia. It's the devil. And now we love it. right? Do I use Wikipedia all the time? No. But when I want a quick definition that is, and it's not a life or death situation, I'm going on Wikipedia. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I actually rarely use Wikipedia, but it popped up and I was like, okay, this seems easy to read. Anyways, let's do this. Okay, so I think one thing in particular, there's many different aspects to identity, right? We have race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, culture, religion, nationality, hobbies, roles, examples, like if you're a sibling, a mother, a dad, whatever the case is. So there's many different aspects to identity. I think even to go a layer deeper, I think there's personal identity, which is like how you perceive yourself, and then there's social identity, which is how you think other people perceive you. I think for the purpose of this podcast, I think those are very interconnected. So I might jump back and forth between the two of them. However, I think we're mainly going to be focused on personal identity. I think your social identity tends to influence your personal identity, and that is the main point of what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get into it. I think one thing and another thing, just to say this before we really dive in, is I think oftentimes people combine self-love and identity. And to me, they're kind of separate topics. And the reason why is I think in order to love yourself, you have to know who you are first. I think it's very hard to love something or someone that you don't know. Anyways, I think that reigns true even for yourself. I think it reigns in many different areas, but in particular, when it comes to identity and discovering who you are, I think you have to know who you are before you love yourself. You probably do both at the same time, but I don't know. But this is where I'm going to put my notes down, because I think it's better to just speak from the heart, right? So growing up, my family moved from, I would say, like a somewhat diverse area to an area that was not so diverse from when I was really, really little. I was 5. And we moved to like a predominantly white neighborhood. And from age 5 until I graduated high school, I was surrounded by the same people. I went to middle school, elementary school, and high school with pretty much the same exact people, with a few coming in and out. And so I think specifically when I was younger, my identity, I think oftentimes people say like, when you're friends with somebody for so long, you start to look alike. I don't know. It's weird. And I'm not saying that I look like those people, but I definitely acted like them in more ways than one. And so I grew up not really knowing who I was because nobody was really telling me. And I think when you're like 5 years old, we see a lot with like parents of this generation and stuff like that, that they're really prioritizing saying like positive affirmations over their kids and having their kids repeat them about themselves and all that stuff. Because when you don't have people telling you something when you're so young, you will just believe anything, right? And so I didn't really know who I was growing up in many aspects, in many regards. I think, like I said, there's many aspects to identity. I think even when I was younger, when we moved, we kind of disconnected from like my cultural identity as well. We weren't surrounded by many like Sudanese people in our new area, and we were kind of isolated in that aspect. But also, like, I just didn't really understand that much, right? I was just very confused. Obviously, I was very young. I think those are the most, you know, some of the pivotal moments in understanding who you are and building that knowledge about yourself. And because I didn't know who I was, nobody was telling me who I was, I just started to be everybody else, right? I started to assume the roles of the people around me, even at a very young age. And it was really weird, right? Because I think, obviously, originality is great. But when you don't have people telling you that it's okay to be different, it's very hard to want to be original. And because I was in a community that nobody really looked like me, with the exception of a few others, I just wanted to be what was deemed as normal, right? Because if you see something, if you constantly see something, you're going to assume that it's normal. And so I just, or the right thing, quote unquote. And so I just assumed, and I started to put myself in these boxes to try and be and fit in with the people around me. I'm going to tell a story from kindergarten, which relates to what my professor and I were talking about yesterday. And I was in kindergarten, and I'll preface this by saying, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I was in kindergarten with you, Lily, and I think I was this person, or I was one of these girls, I want to tell you, I'm not mad at you. I forgive you. I think I learned from this situation. Or maybe you were the perpetrator in a similar situation. I also want to say, although forgiveness is not mine to give, I'm sure the person who you did this to has been able to hopefully find healing without your personal forgiveness or realization what you did was wrong. Anyways, let's continue. I was in kindergarten, and I was like the new kid, right? I was in kindergarten, but they had like pre-K at that school too. So a lot of the kids either played sports together, went to pre-K together, or just were like neighbors. So they all knew each other, which is really weird, right? Because when you go to kindergarten, you're expecting like everybody's going to be the new kid. But in like a kind of small community, it wasn't that small. There was like 3-4 elementary schools. But anyways, a lot of them knew each other, right? Parents were friends, parents went to whatever together. And it was weird. And so I was still seen as like the new kid, right? I was the new kid. And I was also like one of like 2 black people. So it was really weird. And so at the beginning, I was seen as this like shiny new object. And I hate using that phrase, but I think it makes the most sense in this. And I was really tall, I still am, but I was a really tall kid. I was this really tall black girl in this class where nobody looked like me. Right? So at the beginning, people wanted to be my friend. Like everybody wanted to be around me. Everybody was intrigued. And I think it was in a very innocent manner, right? But then after a while, they're like, you know, I don't really care, whatever the case is. But because I was getting so much attention in the very beginning, I like wanted to continue that. And so I wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to be friends with people who were considered cool, which is really weird to think about because we were literally 5-6 years old. And so the fact that the concept of being cool was even a thing back then is so weird. But anyways, I was in kindergarten and there was this group of girls that I really wanted to be friends with, right? And I was gonna say, funny enough, they ended up staying the popular kids, quote unquote. I feel like this is gonna, this is my podcast. Anyways, they ended up pretty much staying, quote unquote, popular kids, which I'm saying quote unquote, because maybe one day I'll talk about how I think we should be putting people on pedestals in the first place. But for the context, to give you a greater picture, you understand what I'm talking about. They pretty much stayed the popular kids from kindergarten up until high school. So I think that's important to note. But anyways, and it was weird because somebody had actually brought this up. One of my friends had said this, like, I remember when you were so badly wanted to be friends with those people when you were younger. I was like, really? They're like, yeah. And they're like, I'm honestly so glad that you're no longer with them because you would have been a completely different person and you wouldn't be who you are today. And they're like, and I mean that in like a really kind way, but I think you would have been, I don't want to say a terrible person, but they basically had phrased it in a way, in a very kind manner. And I understood exactly what they were talking about, as I wouldn't be the person that I am today if I did not leave those group of people, right? And I know it's very dramatic because I was young, but anyways, this was a more recent conversation that I had with somebody who's known me for a very long time. And so kindergarten story, I wanted to be friends with these girls so bad. And I remember one day I went up to them during recess. I think it was snack time recess. We literally had like 10 minutes to play. And I remember being like, hi, can I play with you guys? And they said, no. And I was like, oh. Right? Rejection. What's that? I'm 5. Like, you know? And they're like, no. And I was like, oh, like why? Right? And they had told me that I had to have eyes like theirs and hair like theirs to play with them. So I also wanted to preface this by saying, if this is not something that you can particularly relate to, I hope that this serves as an interesting story, a learning opportunity, or just, I don't know, something to listen to. I'm sure there's something that a similar situation that has happened that has been somebody, you know, I don't even want to use the term discriminating because I think we were so young and we didn't understand what that concept was, but somebody rejecting you because of certain aspects of your identity, whether you can agree, you can relate to this exact situation or the case, and you can probably fill in the blanks and see whatever that was for you. But they said you could only play with us if you had eyes like ours and hair like ours. And I have very dark brown eyes, and I definitely don't have hair like theirs. And I remember going home and asking my dad, I was like, Dad, what color are my eyes? Because you're 5, right? I wasn't looking at mirrors like that. In kindergarten, our bathrooms didn't have mirrors. We had like the little in-class bathrooms that didn't have mirrors. I know they're like taking mirrors away from like public school, like high school bathrooms, which is, we're not going to get into that. But anyways, I remember asking my dad, like, what color are my eyes? And I kept harping on this fact, right? And Bobby, I should have asked you if you remembered this. And I probably will call you after this and ask just to give you a heads up so you know. And I had asked him what color my eyes were. And I know some of you guys probably be like, I would have handled this differently. Oh, well, right? I'm sure you would have. But this is what happened. This is how it happened. And I'm going to tell it exactly how it happened. So I asked him what color my eyes were. And he had asked me why. And I told him what happened. And I part of me understood that what happened was wrong. However, I wanted to be a part of that group so bad that I didn't really care, right? I didn't fully understand like the severity and of the situation, in the sense that I think it's like very sad, but I think in that moment I didn't care, right? I think being rejected to me was more important than, you know, neglecting parts of my identity. So I had asked him, what are my eyes? And he told me that my eyes were dark, dark, dark blue, right? And my mom was a hairstylist, and so I remember the comments were eyes and hair. And I don't think I asked my mom about my hair, because I knew that would have probably caused a problem. But I went to school the next day, and I went up to these girls during recess again. I was like, guess what? They're like, what? And I was like, oh, like, my dad said my eyes are dark, dark, dark blue. Like a really dark blue, right? And I had said, oh, and for my hair, my mom's a hairstylist, and I have to keep my braids in or whatever style I had in for a little longer. But once I get these out and get my braids redone, then I will ask my mom to add a little bit of blonde in it. Which, saying that makes me really sad now, but I'm good. And these girls looked at me in the face. And they had said, it's not funny, but I'm laughing to cope. Anyways, they had said, your dad's a liar. Sorry, Bobby. Your eyes are not blue, which I know, guys. I know my eyes aren't blue. But they're like, but you can play with us. And I ended up being friends with them for a little bit longer until I don't know what happened eventually. And I stopped being friends with them. They were just mean. And that was that story. And I think obviously it happened when I was really, really young, but I can pretty confidently say that that changed the trajectory of how I saw myself for a very long time. And I think I started on this path of this very dangerous journey of continuing to change who I was in more aspects than one in order to fit into a particular category or a box. And I think it's very sad, right? Whether it's my physical appearance, my personality, the way I talk, the way I act, whatever, just trying to fit in. I would constantly do things from probably that point on forever, right? Because I didn't really have anybody telling me who I was. So if the people to the right and to the left of me just seem to be what's accepted, then I'm going to try and fit whatever box that they're in, right? And I think the really interesting thing about identity is obviously we know like the very early ages or stages of your life, like, are very pivotal in terms of how you see yourself. But I think one thing that's unfortunate about that as well is a lot of the things that are that we later have to deal in with life is not stuff that we've said about ourselves, right? Different labels and things that other people around us, whether it's family members, friends, teachers, educators, all those different things have like labeled us with, kind of we carry that baggage for a long time. And it continues to build up, right? It's a very unfortunate thing to have to go back to, you know, things that happen when you're really, really young and have to take authority of that. Because I think a lot of things that I never got an apology from kindergarteners, and I know I'm never going to, and that's okay. I think I've been able to take the steps and stuff to move on and discover who I am and kind of let go of those different things from a younger age. But we're going to get into how I was able to do that in a little bit later. But I kind of want to talk about another aspect of identity. And I think I talked about this in the Time episode, and specifically when I was reading the excerpt that I wrote when I was in high school, I believe. And I was talking about how people oftentimes tie their worth to different things, whether it's their achievements or different promotions that they've gotten or their, you know, economic status or whatever the case is. Like, we oftentimes tie who we are to various things. Like, if you're the star quarterback, like, you're going to say, you're going to carry that with you for the longest time, I think, in more ways than one. And I think you will continue to build this resume of these amazing accolades and things that you've accomplished, but then you realize that at the end of the day, none of that really matters. And I think that really takes a hit to your self-esteem and your confidence as a person. I mean, I was a person who did that. I think I was involved in everything, what it felt like, for a very long time. And whether it was when I was in middle school and I started a prayer group on my campus in seventh grade, we would pray, I think it was every Tuesday or Thursday, in front of our school, we'd pray for our teachers, each other, our families, our country, whatever the case is. And I put a lot of my energy, and I felt like I was that, right? I was known as like the prayer girl, so much so to the point where if I ever slipped up and I remember, I think I was in seventh grade when this happened. I think I like said a bad word and somebody had said, aren't you the prayer girl? Like, aren't you the girl who has a prayer group on your campus? Like, why are you talking like that? Right? Way to clock me. I will say, way to clock that teen. But it was like different things like that, that I honestly attached to who I was. And so when the prayer group wasn't succeeding, I felt like I wasn't succeeding. Right? Or when, at some point in time in middle school, I was president of Black Student Union. If Black Student Union wasn't thriving, I felt like I wasn't thriving. If many different things were, you know, I just felt like my achievements were me and they're not, right? I think there are things that you have accomplished, but they're not the same thing as who you are. And I remember in particular, one thing that really pushed this was when I was in middle school and also in high school for youth group, they would like rent out vans to get people from school, like my high school or my middle school, to youth group. And their big goal was to fill the car, right? The van. And they would rent like a 16, 15 seat or something like that. So your goal was always to get 15 people from your school to come to youth group. That's a lot of people, right? Just to put that into perspective, that is actually a lot of people. Because in reality, do I have 15 friends right now? No, I don't. So I now that I look back, I laugh a little bit at myself that I was so hard on myself at this time. But I'm looking back, that was very, I don't think it was an unrealistic goal, but I'm like, I put too much pressure on myself in order to achieve that. I don't think my worth is attached to that. However, I think the way that leaders and stuff phrased it back then made it very easy for me to see why I felt like my worth was attached to that. Ooh, we were we were filling up the vans and doing all those different things. I remember I had leaders that would only text me to see if I got 15 people to come. That wouldn't check up on me to see how I was doing or anything like that. It was like I felt like my worth was tied to that number. And who I was that number. If I didn't have 15 people, I felt like my presence in that particular space did not matter. And it was really interesting. Obviously, I think I'll pack when I eventually talk about faith and church or whatever I decide to do with that episode. I'll get into that a little bit more. But just for the sake of this, I just felt like my worth was attached to my ability to complete this task that I was given. And I think as I went to high school, similarly, I was president of this. I was an ASB for 3 years. I was doing all these different things, trying to start a campaign or work and rebuild a campaign on my campus in high school that I did see is now successful and running. So I'm like, good for you guys. But different things like that, just honestly filling my plate so much because I thought that if I were able to come up with this really long list of things that I said that I could do, that I would somehow be, it would make me feel better about myself. And I would say it probably did quite the opposite. And I think COVID was that reality check. I think in addition to trying to fill my plate with everything, I think I continued to try and be somebody who I wasn't for a long time. And it gets exhausting, right? If you ever tried to pretend to be somebody that you're not, you're going to get exhausted for a very long time. And I came to a point to where when COVID happened, I was actually relieved in a sense because I didn't have to see everybody every day. So I didn't have to pretend anymore. I could literally just be myself. And I, in the beginning of COVID, coming out of going to school, and I remember freshman year up until that point was really, really hard for me. And I remember just coming home from school and feeling relieved. And I obviously know there's a lot of terrible things that came out of that time as well. However, the relief of no longer having to pretend and put on this mask of being somebody who I wasn't was just so amazing for me. And I was really excited about that. But in the beginning of that, I looked in the mirror and I did not recognize who I was. And I don't mean physically or anything like that, but I just mean like looking into my soul, I did not know who I was. I would look at like old pictures of myself and feel so far disconnected from that person. And it wasn't because I didn't look the same. It was because I wasn't the same person. And don't get me wrong, I think that sometimes and oftentimes change is amazing. However, I think there's intentional change, right? If I was continuing to change because I wanted to be a better person for myself, that's one thing. But if I was continuing to change myself because I wanted to be a better person for, or because I wanted to be who everybody wanted me to be, then that's a different case. So I couldn't identify who I was when I would look in the mirror anymore. And that was really scary. And I think it was that moment forward where I was really intentional with everything. And because I was so isolated, like all of us were, I really got to know myself. And I really got to understand who I was as a person without fear of what everybody else was thinking or whatever the case is, because there was nobody else. And I know I said that self-love and identity are separate, and they are in many more ways than one, but I really had to go back, right? In the midst of my isolation, I had to go back to the times in which I wasn't isolated. And I had to go back to different scenarios in my brain, whether it was through journaling, whatever the case is, and identify the different aspects of myself that I didn't actually put on myself, whether it was old labels that old teachers or family members or whatever the case had placed on me that I continued to carry throughout my adolescence into, you know, whatever. I had to go back and decide that I no longer wanted to live with that label. And it was in that process that it's really scary. And I think if anybody has ever looked in the mirror not being able to identify who they are as a person, it's a place that unfortunately I think a lot of us will get to at some point in time. Whether it's we let the fame get to our head or we continue to just try and fit these boxes that other people want us to, you're probably going to get to that point. And I'm here to tell you that it's okay to get to that point. However, I think it's the steps that you take after you reach that point that really determine the outcome. And I think for me, I was willing and ready to become a person that I wanted to be, the person that I decided that I was. However, I think a lot of our identity is rooted in what other people tell us we are. And for me, I personally decided that my identity was already written. And as somebody who, even at that time, it's really interesting because I was still actively in church. I was still doing all these different things. I still felt like my worth was tied to the different things that I was doing, and who I was as a person was the different tasks and labels that I had. However, I was able to shift my perspective and realize that I'm able to decide that I want to keep the positive labels, things that I'm choosing to place over myself, and just positive affirmations that I decide that I want to live by, if that makes any sense. And I think if my identity is going to be tied to anything, I want it to be tied to who, like, my creator is. And we can unpack that a little bit more in the faith episode if we'd like. But I think I've decided that I no longer want to, or I decided back then that I would no longer wanted to live a life that I didn't recognize who I was, right? And I think I began to love who I was so much more after that moment, after I decided that I was sick of playing this pretend game of being somebody that I absolutely wasn't. And I think I became such a better person, right? Because I was being who I was meant to be. I was being authentically myself, right? I've said this before. I think I'm funny, right? If you thought I was funny before freshman year of high school, you haven't seen me since, like, I'm hilarious, I just have to say. And I think different, like, the best traits about myself, right, I think all happened after I decided that I no longer wanted to live with the negative labels that either I placed over myself or let other people place over me. And it was a really interesting journey. I got, what, like 2 years to really dissect who I had created myself to be and honestly undo a lot of different things, but really just challenge myself and be the best version of myself that I wanted to be. And it's one of the most beautiful things that you can do. And it makes me so happy that I was able to come such a long way from little Lily wanting so badly to fit into that group. And yeah, so it was really interesting. And I want to honestly talk about a few things, because I think there's a couple things that kind of shift our identity, right? I think one thing is, like, your family upbringing, your culture, and all those different things are oftentimes kind of based how you view yourself or how the person that you become, right? And I think, I don't know how I would describe how identity was really brought up to me. I think that's a loaded question. But I think the main influence was school, and it was media, and it was, you know, social media and all these different things. It wasn't my family. And I think that could be very scary territory, scary ground, but I could also see how it's flipped when the main influence in your life is people who really don't know you, right? Or who haven't been around you for the longest time. However, I think another thing that's important to recognize is, like, I know I had said there was many times that I looked in the mirror and I didn't know who I was. I think it's important to highlight that it's okay to change. And I think if you not being able to know who you are, I don't think it always has to be a negative thing, right? I think for me, it was scary because it was nothing. It wasn't by my own doing, if that makes sense. It was just I was absorbing the different labels and things that people placed around me. But I don't think that your identity changing is a bad thing. I think I'm definitely a slightly different person I was from high school to, not slightly, a very different person than I was from high school to now. And it's only been a few years. I think your surroundings oftentimes shape your identity. And I think that was a very big factor for me as well. I think also as you grow, as you move, as you gain new perspectives and are surrounded by different people with different perspectives, like your identity is probably going to change. There are beliefs that I used to hold at such a young age or when I was younger that I no longer hold. Why? It's because I'm more educated. I'm finding out different things and I think it's changing who I am as a person. And yeah, I think so much of who we are is actually little bits and pieces of other people. I don't know if anybody has seen that TikTok, or I'm sure it's on Reels now too. It's old, but something similar to it usually resurfaces every once in a while. And it's like understanding that like little habits and bits and pieces that you have or that you love about yourself are actually pieces about people who you, I don't know. Like this person loves his favorite movie because he showed it to them X years ago. Like I think stuff like that is like who I am oftentimes. Like there are aspects of me that I think have come from the people around me. Like I said, I don't think it always has to be a negative thing. I think there are certain habits that I have that I've honestly picked up from various people. There are different aspects of who I am that I think have come from other people, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think the saying is like we're a mosaic of all the people that we've ever loved. And I think that's beautiful. I think different aspects of who I am is honestly different aspects of people around me. However, I think just a question to ask is this by choice, by force, or have these different things made you a better person? Next. Okay. So I think there are many challenges that we will all experience when it comes to identity. I think one thing that's important is understanding that your identity is going to be constantly changing. Like I said, it evolves over time and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. And I think even during that process, you're probably going to feel disconnected from certain parts of you as you grow up, as you gain new perspectives and things like that. And I think instead of trying to force yourself to continue to be connected to different parts of you that you're honestly losing along the way, I think it's really beautiful to allow yourself to go back and reconnect to different aspects of who you once were eventually down the line. I think there's things that I didn't appreciate when I was younger that I appreciate much more that I'm able to gain new perspectives and things like that. And secondly, I would say if you feel distant, I had mentioned that when we moved, I kind of lost connection from that cultural aspect. It's even now in college, like finding groups and different communities and clubs on campus that helped me reconnect to that different parts of myself that I lost along that journey, I think is something that's very amazing. And I think it's honestly much better when you're able to go back and discover things yourself and it doesn't feel like a forced connection. And I would also say like educate yourself. Like I think there's many different ways to be connected. And I think this is mainly reading and or talking about cultural aspects, but there's different books, you can join different communities, different websites and things like that that'll honestly just allow you to explore different parts of yourself that you may not have known. And I would say, honestly, just give yourself grace. Like, there's no such thing as a perfect person. I think there's no perfect version of who you are. You're going to be constantly changing and evolving as things go on. And I think there's no singular way to exist. I think that makes life a lot boring when we continue to exist in the same copy-paste patterns of one another. And I think it's okay to feel out of place. I think in some ways, sometimes it's great. Like I said, I think it would have been better for me to just honestly feel out of place in that environment when I was younger than trying to be somebody who I wasn't. Because I think I eventually would have gotten used to feeling out of place, but having to undo all of the crap that I put myself through at a young age and continue to live in that mindset, I think is something that's a little bit harder. And I think the best parts of you are the unique ones, and not trying to shy away from that to try and fit or feel like you belong. Right now I'm reading books about like this concept of othering, and it's really insightful for me in more ways than one. And maybe, hey, we should start a book club, right? We should start a book club. But it basically just talks about how like oftentimes we other people because we want to belong, and that the process of othering is rooted in you wanting to feel a sense of belonging. And you think in order to do that, you have to push other people out. And I think that same thing honestly goes with your identity. I don't think you have to choose between the two of them. I think a community or an environment that's meant to have you will embrace all aspects of you that are different. And yeah, I think find different spaces and avenues that I think love and honor and respect the true you, and don't encourage you to fit this mold that you were never meant to be in. I know I mentioned that conversation that that friend that I had for a very long time had said to me, but I think it's important to have people like that who are able to be like, are you okay? Like, I do not recognize the version of you that you're becoming in a very loving and compassionate manner. I think that's a particular topic that's very sensitive. Like, how do I approach a friend and be like, I don't recognize you anymore? But I think it's important to have people in your life that'll give you that reality check. And I think, honestly, just to kind of close this out, I think the most important thing that we could do is just lead with authenticity. I think in all aspects, don't try and be somebody. Like, I think it's cool to admire somebody in some way, shape, or form, but trying to be the exact version of them is just going to get so plain boring. And I think life is so fun when I meet, I think the friends that I have around me, they're all so different, right? I think we share similar aspects and mindsets and things like that, but in more ways than one, we're all very different individuals. And I think life is so much more fun that way. I honestly think that on that topic of authenticity, I think sometimes we think that because we're part of certain identity groups that we have to fit into certain stereotypes and things like that. I think that also goes to the whole aspect of not being true to yourself. I think just because you're part of this cultural group or racial group or whatever does not mean that you necessarily have to check off every single box. I think if you don't, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. And if you do, I don't think that there's anything wrong with you. I think worrying about what you should be connected to is not going to get you very far, but honestly, just leaning towards what you naturally connect to, I think, will help you identify who you are. And I think you have room to create new traditions and things like that that resonate with you, and different ways to express who you are as a person. One thing that I like to do, and I think I probably mentioned this in the beginning, is I like to write letters to my future self. There's different apps that you can use and stuff like that in which you can do so. But I remember I got a letter that I wrote from years ago, a couple weeks ago, and I was writing it to my 20-year-old self, like for my birthday. And even seeing how different my perspectives and things were back then to now is something that's so beautiful. And I think the fact that who I am as a person changed in more ways than one, I think my morals and values have like matured as I've matured and things like that. But I think it's just a very beautiful thing to be able to reflect on how you've changed in like the best ways and how you've been able to allow yourself to grow in more ways than one. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. I think it's a good thing that I'm not the same person I was when I was 15. I think who I am, the core of who I am, I think is pretty much the same, but different aspects of my personality, all those different things have changed. And like I said, there's different aspects to identity, which I kind of talked about in the beginning of this episode, but I think the core existence of who you are probably isn't going to change much. I think it's very centered in what you were kind of raised in, unless you take the steps to step out of that. But your personality, right? The things that you like, the people that you're around, all that's going to change as you change or as you grow. And yeah, I think one thing that I know I've said I'll end with this, but one thing that I think is really interesting is your identity doesn't need the validation of the people around you. So stop looking for it. Right? I thought that I needed to be validated by my peers and people around me because they seemed like what was accepted at that time, and I didn't need that. I also didn't need the long lists of things on my resume in order to be accepted by the people around me in order for me to feel better about myself. I think one that I mentioned, positive affirmations, so important, and I think it's one thing that I want to get better about, is affirming myself. I don't need outsiders to affirm the different things that I've done. You can take those steps and do it yourself. And I honestly think it's more powerful when you do that, right? Because how many times has a person complimented you or something like that, and you kind of just let it pass over your head, right? I think when you take time to do that over yourself every single day to the point where you believe it, you say it enough to yourself, you're going to believe it, right? And you're going to end up loving the person that you're becoming. But on that same note, if you continue to let people speak negativity over you, you're going to continue to believe it. So watch what you speak over your life and who you let speak into your life. Yes, I love that. I love that. And I think it's going to take a long process. I think identifying who you are, I think it's something that I'm continuously, is a journey that's going to continue to go on until I die. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it takes time, and I think I'm learning to love myself through the process of that. And I think the more you embrace who you are, then the less pressure you feel like you have to fit these different societal expectations and norms and standards. And I think, yeah, I just to kind of conclude, it's okay to feel disconnected from certain aspects of who you are. I think I've given many examples of that. And I think these are all lifelong journeys, and it can be fun, but it can also be scary. Like I said earlier, going back to those different things that you experienced when you were younger and all those different things, it can be a scary process, but I promise you the outcome is going to outweigh the, you know, temporary discomfort of having to go back and unlearn those different labels that you've allowed to continue to be placed over you. And I would say, honestly, in the process of discovering who you are, you'll find that, like, being more open about this journey, I think, is something that I wish we were a lot more. Right? Like I think I've had really good conversation about this topic with many of my close friends, but I think honestly, just talking about this more, like when you're at a place and you're like, I don't like who I am right now, and understanding that that's okay, but how are you going to get past that mindset? How are you going to get past this block for that particular thing? But yeah, I honestly would just say, I think with this episode in particular, obviously I shared a lot of stories, I feel like, maybe not that many, but I shared a few stories that were very specific. And so if you have anything that you think, I love hearing perspectives, like I said, this is a topic that I'm very passionate about. And I think there's many nuggets and stuff that we talked about in here that we're definitely going to unpack a little bit more in later episodes. But if there's something that you want to share, I know I say this at the end of every single episode, but please, 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 I think with this topic in particular, I would love to hear other people's perspectives, especially if you didn't come from a similar background that I did. And I want this to be a conversation. I think I'm not perfect. I think the journey of finding out who I am and loving who I am is one that's continuous. However, I could say that I'm in a much better place now than I was years ago. And I think the core of who I am probably isn't going to change. What if it does? That's okay too. And yeah, just identifying that this journey to understanding who you truly are is not linear. It's going to have a lot of ups and downs, but I would just say, encourage you to allow yourself to go through that process of the ups and downs. I think I love who I am. Crazy to say, I love the person that I've become, and I wouldn't have gotten to the place that I was if it wasn't for the hard work that it took to get here. And I'm continuing that journey to be the best version of myself and how I see that. One that isn't rooted in what other people think about me, but one's rooted in who I am. And yeah. Anyways, I hope that you guys are able to connect in some way, shape, or form with this episode. Please, please, please feel free to either DM me on either accounts or leave a comment. You could also add your feedback to the Google form that is in the Instagram bio. Follow the Instagram, especially if you're not from or if I don't know you. I think it's really cool. I want to connect. And yeah, I check my DMs, like I said, all the time. So feel free to do so. And yeah, just let's create this community and continue to share our stories and help lift each other up and give each other advice and things of that nature. But thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. I'm super excited to kick off February. Way to close out the month, guys. I'm excited. Next month has some really fun and exciting things coming up, and I would love your help with all of that. Share Remix Reality Podcast with a friend who you think might relate to this or could add something to this or whatever the case is. Give it a little rating down below, and I hope to see you guys in episode 6. Bye.